The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Let's talk about Celtic and the week that they've had. They get beaten by Rangers in the Old Firm, and then they travel halfway around the world in the middle of a global pandemic. It hasn't been the best week in the history of the football club.
No, it hasn't. They played well against Rangers for the most part, then near Beaton did a James Ryan and rugby tackled Alfredo Morelos and got himself sent off stupidly. And then Rangers scored, won the game, went 19 points ahead, albeit Celtic got three games in hand. But 19 points, Celtic ain't coming back from that. They're too inconsistent. Rangers are too strong under Gerrard. He's done a terrific job. And as you say, yeah, they literally went from Ibrox to Glasgow Airport and flew to Dubai. Photographs on Monday of Scott Brown and Neil Lennon sitting by a pool with a couple of beers in between them. Probably not the cleverest thing to do when you're 19 points behind and your home support is going doolally back in Glasgow. Is a PR horror show for Celtic. I cannot believe. They say they followed all the protocols. They say the government gave them the go-ahead. That's all under debate because they're now getting criticised by Nicola Sturgeon, the First Minister. So it is a bit of a melting pot. But, you know, they should have anticipated. And I think it's an illustration of this football club has for 8 years been largely making very good decisions. In the last year, they've started to make one bad decision after another, and not being able to read the room on this Dubai trip. Everyone in Scotland is locked down. Their fans are in uproar at the state of their club. And they charter a private plane, go to Dubai, and are photographed drinking beers beside a pool. Ain't a good look, lads. So I'm just amazed that the executive of that club, Peter Lawwell, the chief executive, didn't read the room and anticipate the danger of this trip, because it's been a nightmare for them.
What was the point of the trip?
They go there every January, Gerard, and like the last two Januaries, they've been behind in the league. Rangers have been on the ascendancy, and it's flipped just after the Dubai trip. So they think, I don't know if they think Dubai is a good luck charm. But they had it booked and signed off in November. It's for rest and relaxation and training. Certainly, we've seen the rest and relaxation bit beside the swimming pool. But they're now on social media, and they're putting out little clips of the lads training and working ever so hard. They're stressing, though, the lads are working really, really hard here. So that's it. You know, that it's a kind of thing that's been in their diary for a while. I think it's been a very bad idea.
Dermot Desmond has come out over the last couple of days and said he's fully confident in Neil Lennon. He said that he saw enough of an improvement against Rangers to give him confidence in that. Is he right to look at that improvement against Rangers and feel that that's a sustainable thing?
Well, they lost the game. I mean, if Celtic have now got to the stage where they're taking comfort from defeats against their nearest rivals, then they're in an even worse state than I think they are. I don't know where Desmond is coming from with that. I mean, they're 19 points behind. They've been inconsistent. They've been horrendous in Europe. And Celtic still have this notion that they are a European club, that they're not just a European club, they're a Champions League club because they won the European Cup in 1967. It's in their DNA. You look at the state of them now. They're not even a decent Europa League team. They're out of there. Sparta Prague beat them 4-1 twice in the group stage. So the evidence against Neil Lennon, even though he's done an outstanding job for Celtic in two spells, I think, particularly his first spell, is pretty damning. And I think at Celtic, they're at the stage now where they've won nine titles in a row. I don't think they're not going to win a 10th. It's time to set the press the reset button, shake things up. They look a tired club. Rangers look a club hungry, ambitious, driven. Celtic look tired. Peter Lawwell has been there a long time as chief executive. I wonder, is it time for him to move on? Neil Lennon looks tired. Is it time for him to move on? I suspect it is. But a lot of the players, you know, are they looking over their shoulder and going, you know, you look at young Scottish players like Ryan Christie, Callum McGregor. They're looking at their mate Kieran Tierney down at Arsenal, John McGinn at Aston Villa, Scott McTominay, thinking, wouldn't mind a bit of that. But they've won all the titles they could possibly win at Celtic. I mean, what's another league type? What's another Scottish Cup or a League Cup? They've won loads of them already. I would not be surprised if they were thinking, right, it's time to move on now, do something different. So I think the club, the whole club, needs freshening up from top to bottom.
Lawl has a very good reputation, and you know, his supporters would point to the fact that obviously they have done very well in the transfer market over the years. You know, they've been a breeding ground for talent, and I think as a selling club, they probably point to Tierney as a success in their eyes, and they would definitely point to the centre-back who went to Southampton, Virgil, obviously as a massive success as well. So I'd say he probably feels like if there's a reset button, it's going to come at a lower level than him.
Well, you're right, Jared, to mention those guys. And there are other guys. You know, Moussa Dembele, they made 20 million off him. Stuart Armstrong, 8 million to Southampton. Over the span of the nine in a row, they've made over 100 million in transfer sales, which is an astonishing sum for a Scottish club. Amazing. But over the last couple of seasons, two or three seasons, the transfer policy has been really poor. They have wasted industrial scale money on no marks. Wages, transfer fees, guys who've come in, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million. Their goalkeeper Barkas, the Greek goalkeeper Barkas at the moment, 5 million. Loads of waste. Colossal wage bill for a Scottish club. So the glory days of Virgil van Dijk and Victor Wanyama and all of these guys, they seem a long, long time ago.
You can probably add Shane Duffy to that list. He's come back from Dubai, and there was immediate speculation that that was to sign for a championship club. The Daily Record this morning are reporting that that's not the case. It was a family matter. But I suppose until the transfer window closes, we can't really be sure about what's going on, can we?
No, we can't. And Celtic have a problem at centre half because Christopher Julian, one of their first choices, they paid 7 million for him. He's injured now for a number of months. So if Duffy goes away, they're going to have to sign one, if not two, centre backs. I doubt that he's moving. I saw that picture. He seemed to be, apart from having a problem with his defending, seems to have a problem knowing how to wear a mask because he had it tucked under his nose, which is didn't go down particularly well either. I'd be surprised, although Duffy has been, it's reported that it was a £2 million loan fee that Celtic were paying. He has been, I choose my words carefully here now, a failure. But Celtic fans would use more agricultural language than that when they're talking about Shane Duffy. He's tried his heart out, just hasn't happened.
From having a front row seat to that, can you see Shane Duffy getting back to ever being a Premier League player again? Has this just been such a very quick and rapid decline that really Nottingham Forest and linking back up with Chris Hughton is as good as he can hope for in terms of meaningful minutes in the future of his career?
I'd say I think he needs to get away from Celtic. I think the best thing for Shane Duffy and the best thing for Celtic is a parting of the ways here. His confidence has been obliterated. He's making jaw-droppingly bad decisions on the ball. He's getting caught out by run-of-the-mill footballers in terms of positioning, in terms of pace. You know, when he came in, everyone thought, and I thought, that this was going to be a really good signing because Celtic had, even though they had good or decent footballing centre-halves, they didn't have a no-nonsense centre-half, a bit of a leader. And everyone thought that that's what Celtic were getting with Shane Duffy. But almost from the start, he was being caught out. And it wasn't just in Europe. You know, he's been caught out by Kilmarnock, like being bullied, you know, and everyone was taken aback by that. So I think he does need to get away. to rebuild his confidence, go somewhere else, because, you know, he's played quite a few games for Celtic now, and the one thing he has in his favour, and we're clutching at straws here on his behalf, is that there's no fans at Celtic Park. If there's fans at Celtic Park, he would be getting a torrid time from them. His social media, they're destroying him.
Last question for me is about Steven Gerrard. You talked about the energy around Celtic versus the energy around Rangers. Is he singularly responsible for that drive and hunger? And how's he doing? Because it seems I certainly wouldn't have had him down as automatic management material, given how stressed he looked on the field. And maybe that was an error on my part, that actually that belied the great football intelligence that he's showing, and also just the ability to be a man manager and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, if you made that mistake, Gerard, then I made that mistake too. And I've been reminded about it every minute of every day since he started winning. I think he's been outstanding. Now, he's had a lot of money, relatively speaking, again, to spend. The Rangers board have really backed him to the tune of over 30 million in the transfer market. But he spent it wisely. You know, he's rebuilt his team. I think there's only three players left at the club now that were there when he took over. Rangers finished third in the season before he took over. Celtic were humiliating them 4-0, 5-0. The banter years, the Celtic fans called it. They had great crack with it. And he stopped all that. And there is steel in this Rangers team now that hasn't been there. Wasn't there last season, because this time last year, a lot of people would say Rangers were going to win the league because they'd just gone to Celtic Park and beaten them. They looked strong and then they collapsed. And I don't think this Rangers team are going to collapse now. He's been very, very good. They're sitting on 62 points after 22 games. If you look at the 9 in a row that Celtic achieved, they only ever hit that mark once. That was the 2016-17 season under Rodgers, the invincible season, when they had 64 points. So they just had this great Rodgers team only had two more points than this Gerrard team. So it shows you their consistency. 22 games, 20 wins, 2 draws. This is a decent Rangers team, and they do look hungry. They do look organised. And Gerrard has been very, very impressive. I thought the job would eat him up. I thought it would absolutely devour him, because Rangers didn't have just colossal problems on the pitch. Off the pitch, behind the scenes, they were not in a good shape. But it looks so, so different now.
Yeah, he's doing a pretty great job. Tom English, as ever, thanks a million for joining us this morning.
Cheers, lads.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.